buddy. Just here to tell you before the show starts that I love my doghouse system. I love computers. I love PCs. I love what gaming is on PCs more than I love what it is on consoles or anything else. The PC is, if you put a gun to my head and said, Scott, only one gaming device for the rest of your life, what do you pick? I think I go PC. Since I go that way, I recommend you go this way. That is to doghousesystems.com and configure a machine just for you. Configure. They love you. You'll love them. Their warranty is amazing. The selection of parts and components and cases and cooling systems and all the stuff they use, top of the line, cutting edge, amazing. Why don't you save a little bit of money, too, by getting a free 120-gigabyte SSD drive. That's a solid-state drive absolutely for free. That is in addition to the 1 terabyte hard drive you've already got in the computer. Get that extra drive for free by using the code FROGPANTS at checkout. That's doghousesystems.com and the checkout code FROGPANTS. This is the Boob Show, some gaming news you can use for March 12th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's do this. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It is the Boob Show for Thursday, and I got stuff to talk about. I've been playing so much Heroes of the Storm that I dream about it. I don't think that's good. I don't think that's what they intend. I think what they intend is that I play it a ton and that I like it a lot and that hopefully I spend a little money on it, which I do. Adjust something on the soundboard there. I've spent a bit of money. I want to say probably around 50 bucks on characters. Back in the alpha, I bought some packs, like a combo pack of characters and mounts, and then more recently I spent $10 on Thrall, former war chief, current badass of Warcraft. I bought him, and I've been playing a lot, and so I've been playing enough or more to the point that if you want to see me play, you can now, because I'm going to be streaming a lot more, that game and others, not just that. You can find my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/frogpants_Scott. That's frogpants_Scott. It's annoying to say, isn't it? And some videos I put up on YouTube. So search for Scott Johnson's videos on YouTube. Oh, there'll be a link on the site. I'll put it up there. But I'm really enjoying that game, like a lot. And played with some friends this week and won both matches when we did, and that's always good. Coordination, man, that's how you win matches. That's how you dominate in the world of MOBAs, I guess. I assume people have been doing this for ages with LOL and Dota 2, but look, it is clear to me the MOBA for me is Heroes of the Storm. Also got Deer God, D-E-E-R God. It's like the Deer God, like he's a deer, right? But he's kind of a god, I guess. I don't know. I actually don't know if that's how the title comes or why the title is that, but I did get it on Steam. And was about to go play it, give it a shot. Looks like it's this kind of cool combination, pixel art, 3D, parallax-looking coolness. Supposedly some platforming and, adventure game tropes in there. Find stuff, combine them, unlock puzzles, that kind of stuff. And I was anxious to play, so went to go grab my controller, and lo and behold, not there. Where in the hell is my controller? I have a 360 wire controller just for this. That's what I have it for. What's going on? Found out my son had it. He took it. He plugged it into his own PC, and he's been using it. And I thought, well, rather than go and messing around with that and trying to figure out his rat's maze of cables, I decided to plug in the PS4 controller. And I had forgotten that Sony has never officially released actual PS4 PC controller drivers. Unlike the 360, Microsoft put out 360 drivers. Those are being updated, you know, regularly. It took a little while, but the Xbox One controller now has that as well. So there's native support. And basically, anything that supports a controller will just, you know, map accordingly. Well, the PS4 stuff is there for some games. That World War II game I like so much, forgot the name of it because that's how much I liked it. Crap. The Ubisoft one. Anyway, that game. That directly recognized a PS4 controller and automatically changed all the on-screen graphics to reflect buttons from the PS4. And like that was kind of cool. I liked that that was baked in. And a few games are like that, I suppose. But many of them just want straight up whatever the mapping is and the functionality is of a 360 controller, since that kind of became the standard for the last generation. To cut to the chase here, I went through that whole down the rabbit hole, hunt down the best way to make drivers work on the PC. And it turns out there's some pretty good stuff out there, but it took me a while to be comfortable with who's doing what and how much bloatware is being installed with this little driver, how much with that other one. So I ended up using that, what is it, input mapper is what I use. And look and make sure that name's right. Yeah, input. Is it input mapper? Well, anyway, doesn't matter. The point is it works now. Everything just works. I'm not having any trouble at all. So my PC does not have a Bluetooth controller on it. I opted not to have one. Now I wish I would have, because that would work with it as well, apparently. But I'll use wired. It's fine. Wired's nice. There's no lag with wired. So I'll be happy with that for the time being. Speaking of hardware, Kenneth Spencer sent me a flight stick, and he's the man, and I wanted to give him some credit on air, because I've been struggling as to whether or not I want to go down the path of Elite Dangerous or other flight stick enabled space sims and things like that. He was nice enough to say, look, I've got this one. I don't use it. Do you want it? And I said, yes. And he sent it. And now I say thank you to him. So Kenneth Spencer, you're the man. Thank you so much. And now I just need to go get the game so I can play it. Titanfall 2 has been confirmed. Ding, 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 ding. Big shock, everybody. Titanfall 2 in development at Respawn Entertainment. That's good. We're excited about that. Vince Zampella. That's right. The co-founder of Respawn Entertainment has settled it all, finally. And he said this at the BAFTA Game Awards in London in an interview with IGN. Quote, I guess EA announced a sequel so I could play coy and pretend I didn't know anything about it. Or, yeah, so we're working on a sequel, he said. No official name yet, but we're working on that. That's the main focus. But we're starting up a second team and doing some smaller stuff too. Small, exploratory, taking it slow. It will be multi-platform. That's the part everybody wanted to hear. PC version, Xbox One version, PlayStation 4 version, all coming. I wonder if that means they'll put it on the original Xbox or not. Did okay there, but aren't we to that point now where there's no point in doing that? Zappella is accredited primarily for helping shape Modern Warfare into what it is, the Modern Warfare series, I should say, into what it is right now. When he headed up Infinity Ward, and he's known for lots of other cool stuff within that space, but he seemed unsure about the single-player campaign, which is what I really want from the sequel. So he says he wouldn't have done the original any differently when it came to its multiplayer-only approach. So that may not be good news. We may not get what I want. Do I have to always get what I want? No, I don't. But I know what I want, and that's what I want. Grand Theft Auto TV drama has been announced. It's going to be on the BBC. This is crazy to me. But isn't that a little bit crazy? It will be a drama based on Grand Theft Auto. So I guess the world of Grand Theft Auto. Can it be based on Vice City? Because that's the one I like the most. I like them all, but that one's great. Or how about this? Each season, do it like American Horror Story. Each season, you just do it about one of the characters from one of the games. Start with, like, I don't know, who was the character in the original top-down one? I don't even know. But you could start with three if you had to, right? You start with three, you work with that dude, you do your little crime drama, working with the mob, blah, 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 move along. Next guy, Vice City guy, which is kind of a prequel, right? You do that, you get all that great music, and then jump to San Andreas. You'd have to do it on HBO to get the language in. Or I guess the BBC doesn't care so much, but whatever. It's happening. So batten down the hatches, everyone. Hide your kids. Grand Theft Auto coming to TV. Battlefield Hardline for the Xbox One. Guess how big it is. You want to be a little bit freaked out? Oh my gosh, dude. 45 gigabytes of your hard-earned disk space will be dedicated and donated to the cause of Battlefield Hardline on the Xbox One. I don't know if that's going to be any different on the other platforms, being PC and PS4, because they didn't say. They did here. PC version, you're going to need 60 gigabytes of space. So it's more, I assume, better textures or something. The release is still March 17th, so we're coming up on it. And they think they're going to let people download early. One would assume that the 360 PS3 and PS4 versions are going to have similar sizes, although the old consoles maybe not so much. I don't know. It's unclear at this point. Kind of getting excited about Hardline. I'm a little surprised that I even care, honestly. You know what? This is proof to me, at least for me. I can't speak for everybody else. But when a company comes out with a game and then they try to annualize it, I get tired of it. But when they come out with a game or, you know, one in a series, and then I got to wait 2 years for the next one, which is what we're doing here since BF4, I'm back on track with like, that sounds all right. It's been a while. And I've kind of skipped every Call of Duty for the same reason, or every other. I enjoy them every other. Not because the one in between isn't any good. It's just that I get burned out. It's like, well, I don't want to do it this year. But then the next year rolls around. I missed that kind. I'll play that again. I think they're making a mistake. This one per year thing is the goof. It should be one every 2 years. More development time, better time spent on, you know, better making the consumer happier, not feeling like, you know, Madden 15 is basically Madden 14 with a couple of tweaks. Why don't they do that? Is the yearly money grub so powerful that that couldn't trump that and maybe end up selling more? Because maybe I'm the only one. I'd love your feedback on that. Because am I the only one that feels just annualization will ruin a series, but give me every couple years and I'm kind of back in? Really curious about that. Star Citizen PC, the PC client, speaking of huge, could or probably will be, they are saying. Hold on for this one. Here, we need some music for that. Here, this will be intense. 100 gigabytes of disk space dedicated to the Star Citizen PC client. Good Lord. They did say this. I mean, a lot of people have been saying, who've been accessed to the early stages of the game and stuff, are saying 30 to 40 gigabyte, but the game could get much bigger. The size and number of assets that are left to deliver means that our client size is as much as 100 gigabytes, they said. I wonder if that means as much as or more. Ooh. How come that's so big, by the way? Space has no texture maps. Except the ones in the far background showing the nebula barely moving. You know what I mean? Someone explain to me. Your ships, I know the ships are super detailed, the characters in them, the first-person shooter part of it, sure, that adds up, but the space part is pretty sparse. There's some asteroids with some texture mapping, like rocks, okay. What is all that space being used for? They didn't really say. Not that they need to, and maybe we're just headed toward this anyway, and I need to quit worrying about it, but I hope you guys have disk space, because you're going to freaking need it. PS4 system software update 2.50 has been listed by its new features by Sony. The suspend resume feature is on the list. It will allow players to pause and restart games nearly instantly, is the quote. Oh, man. There's your slippery slippy right there. Near instantly with the power button. So by doing this, the PS4 can be put into standby mode without interrupting the play session. Additionally, the update will have the console take a screenshot of the moment of a trophy that is earned in the game, so it's all automatic. So if you get a trophy, blip, you can decide to keep that or not, but you don't have to worry about snapping a screen grab. It already did it for you. They have a full list of these features, all written by Sony. Goes over things like sub-account and master account upgrades, a bunch of changes to the way chat restrictions work and all that stuff. It's kind of boring. Facebook friend search. So you can search for friends on Facebook. Remote play and share play at 60 frames per second. So no more 30. You can do 60 if your connection/network can handle it. That'll be good. I do that a lot on my Vita. I like it. It's a cool feature. Some accessibility options, higher contrast UI elements. You can zoom in on photos, invert colors. It probably helps some people with some color blindness, that kind of stuff. You can reassign all your buttons to do whatever you want them to do. Configurable PS4 button layout stuff. And a few more. Your share clips, your video clip thing can be shared to Daily Motion now. So that's cool. There's still a thing, you know, Daily Motion. You're familiar with them? It's a video website. Come on. Do I have to tell you everything? Cards Against Humanity now has a free unofficial online version. You can now play Cards Against Humanity online for free over your smartphone, tablet, computer, whatever. This is all thanks to a guy named Dawson Whitfield. He's a developer. It's a web app called Cards Against Originality. And there's links to it all over the place. Works with smartphones, tablets, and computers, so even the guy stuck in 99 can join the fun, says Whitfield. He's able to, I'm trying to see if there's any, basically he's doing this under the Cards Against Humanity LLC's intellectual property rules, which state you can remix the game, screw around with it, do whatever you want. You just can't sell it without their permission. And that's what he's claiming he's doing here. And people are preaky about it, and they're pretty excited about it. Don't ask me how pretty excited and preaky got mixed up, but hey, there it is. The Descent sequel raised over $100,000 in one day. Do you guys remember Descent? I remember it fondly. And look, all this VR talk, everybody's excited about VR. Space Sims are back. I'll, you know, get this stick over here that I'm going to use. Here, listen to this. Can you hear it? That's my flight stick. A Descent sequel, an actual Descent game, that's exciting because, man, that game, that's what that game needed. Back in 1990, whatever. 15 years since we last saw a Descent game. And now, there's a brand new game coming. Go search for it. It's on Kickstarter. Still raising money. They're doing just fine. And we'll play that again one day. And I'm very excited about it. Uncharted 4 has been delayed to spring 2016. Oh, I don't know why I snorted. Why would that be? Why would I snort? They've delayed it. Spring 2016. It was going to be this fall. The two directors that head up the project at Naughty Dog said in an announcement, said this about the postponement. Since we showed you our first gameplay reveal of Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, more of the game and story have come together, and it's become clear to us that this game is much more ambitious than we originally envisioned. After spending so many years with Nathan Drake, he means a lot to the team, and telling the climactic chapter of his adventures is a task we don't take lightly. This game deserves every bit of the attention to detail, precise pacing, and nuanced storytelling Naughty Dog is known for. I have zero problem with this. Do take your time. I mean, boo, it's late, and I do want to play it, and I love the Uncharted series, but I would like to play it in its completed form. In the best possible form that it can be presented to me in. And if that means you need more time, just pull a Blizzard, take whatever freaking time you need. Because, yeah, I want to play that game, and I want to play a good version of it. Okay? Don't let us down. Sony plans to shut down PlayStation Mobile. Blah, 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 who cares? This didn't work out very well. It was a bad idea. It was a way to a weird framework where PlayStation Vita could play Android indie games, and it was confusing. You didn't know what the hell the store was. There were two different stores. What does this work with the Vita? I don't know. Maybe. Well, this is an ancient game, but how much do you want for this? Like, there was a lot of confusion. It was a bad business thing. And this is yet another moment where we can see Sony trimming the fat. They've been doing this a lot lately, and this is just one more step in that. So, not much else to say about it, except it was a bad idea in the first place, and it probably should have been killed, and it's totally fine by me. Finally, you can watch an original, let's do this. You can watch Netflix, right? You can already do that, everybody. You've got your devices to watch Netflix. You've got your consoles. You've got your Rokus, your whatevers, right? Did you know that you can, or you could, I'm not saying you're going to be able to simply, but you can watch Netflix on an NES cartridge. That's right. The Netflix Hackaday is a biannual event for the company's engineers and designers to cut loose and do something wacky. And this year, three dudes got together and made it so the streaming service worked on an NES. It looks real bad. It says here, the interface works by scrolling text in the same way that you'd run through an old Mario Brothers game. In a clip posted on YouTube, the engineers try to watch House of Cards. And you should go try it. You should go see the video. It looks like garbage, but it's cool, man. This is some hackery bullshit. And I'm a huge fan of it. And they should never stop doing it. And hopefully they won't. All right, it's time for emails and stuff. Emails, phone calls, you know the drill. 801-471-0462. 801-471-0462. Or boopshow@gmail.com. Let's get it started.
I listened to your newest podcast. You mentioned that you love arcade hockey. Well, back in the 90s, there was a spinoff of NBA Jam called NHL Open Ice. It was 2-on-2 hockey, and it had turbo power, everything in NBA Jam you can imagine in a hockey game. It came out for the arcade and PlayStation 1. So if you want to relive some good arcade hockey, I recommend NHL Open Ice.
Okay, I do remember that game. I don't think I played it, though. Did I play it? I was really into NBA Jam, so you'd think I would move over to that, because I also really liked hockey, but yeah. Like I said last time, and like I'll say again, I would not dissatisfy me at all as a consumer of video games if they came out with more arcade-y hockey-style games. Straight-up, big-headed dudes, I don't care. I don't care how you do it. I do love me some arcade hockey, so... Bring it on, man.
This is for the Boop Show. Hey, Scott. This is Nate from Northern Illinois. Last time you talked about the price of games and things like that, you mentioned Skyrim and stuff. So, I mean, how can we charge the same price for a game that could take up the 100 plus hours versus a game that will take up 5 hours? Thank you. Love the show.
I think we played this one last week, didn't we? I just realized. Did we play this call last week? I'm having a memory fart. Well, I want to address it again because we got all kinds of emails about it in the meantime. And some have made some pretty good arguments. I'm saying that just because a game is shorter versus longer doesn't mean it took less time to make. In other words, it's a false equivalency to say Skyrim took as much effort to build as, I don't know, I can't think of a good comparison. What's a good game I can compare it to? I don't know. Let's say Madden, where everything is played in single game chunks, you know? You basically play a match. All right, Hearthstone versus Heroes of the Storm. Hearthstone took a long time to make, but it probably took longer to make Heroes. Yet, you could look at either one and go, well, look at all the art assets. Well, yeah, they already had a lot of that stuff. Okay, well, look at this other thing. Well, yeah, they already had the StarCraft engine they could modify. Like, you could go back and forth about all the shortcuts and or long stretches it would take to get something done. And I don't think it's ever comparable. Like, a game of Skyrim versus a game of Madden is just such a different proposal, but it probably took more to make Madden in terms of money and people. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's the problem. Nobody knows, so we can only guess anyway. But a lot of Skyrim is like big giant world full of random objects, mountains, water, creatures kind of randomly placed. Like, it's a bunch of stuff that you had to build initially, but sometimes populating the world. It's not like somebody had to go out there and walk every inch and put something, you know, put a blade of grass down, and that took as long as it would in the real world. I'm not explaining myself very well, but do you see what I mean? It's not the same. I mean, there's no way to compare the two. Because length is subjective. It's also the nature of the genre sometimes, the nature of the way that a story is being told versus the way they're not telling a story. Super Smash Brothers has got no story to tell, really, but did that take longer than that Kirby's Clay Adventure thing? Probably. Because you got all these characters and character balance to worry about. I mean, you know, it's not the same. One game may take you longer to beat, yet it took less time to make. That's what I'm trying to say. I hope I make sense when I say that. I really believe that. Rebut me if you will.
Hey, this message is for the Boop Show, actually, and Scott was asking about favorite PlayStation 2 games. And I just wanted to make sure that we paid a little homage to SOCOM on the PlayStation 2. As far as I know, it was the first series to include voice chat. It actually packed in with a headset, and it was the first series to actually require broadband for online play. So I had some really slow, small-town internet back then, but I made it work and thought it was pretty amazing. Thanks for the time.
Great suggestion. And by the way, do you remember like the Dreamcast PS2 days? And everybody got so excited. These have modems in them. Plug in the modem. And, you know, as shortly back as 2000, 2001, it doesn't seem like that long ago. I guess it has been 15 years. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I don't want to think about that. I was about a year away then from some broadband that came in the form of this crappy antenna on my house. And you'd use like this shared internet broadband thing around the community, and it sucked. But it was so much better. It was 1.5 megabytes down beyond anything dial-up had ever given me. And I remember, I guess, playing my first either Unreal Tournament or something game, Quake 3 or something, where I couldn't believe how much faster it was. I was not having the lag. I didn't have to guess whether my shots were going to hit somebody or not. Oh, I just remember tasting that and go, the whole new world, dude, whole new world ahead of us. And now suddenly we're here and it's not really an issue. I've got 25 down, 8 up or something now. And it's just kind of awesome and you never have to think about it. Unless it's down, I guess. But boy, those were the days. Modems in your consoles, man. The hell. All right. Keep sending your favorite PS2 games in if you'd like. Email from a patron, a supporter, Nick, over there at patreon.com/frogpants. He says this: Hi, Scott. I'm all in on digital games going forward, as I know many people are. I find myself rebuying games that I own on disc when I see the digital version go on sale cheap on the Xbox, PlayStation, Wii U, Steam, Origin, and so on, because I feel like not having a disc is more convenient because I never have to misplace them or don't have to store them, etc. What are your thoughts on getting digital versions of games you already own on disc? Boop. I've done that a few times. And sometimes I do it two digitals. Like I got Towerfall on PS4 and then bought it on PC, which was in retrospect kind of a dumb idea because the PC version, it's not a single player game. And it's hard for me to get a multiplayer, you know, couchy kind of game going with that. So that maybe was a waste of $15. But yeah, like when you tell me that there's a fresh version of something that I have a lot of fond feelings about, I have no problem buying it again. What I have a problem with is if they start getting crazy about price. Like, you know, for an old game being remastered, where I know there was a bunch of work involved, you know, I think $19 is a good price to pay. If it's something that's 1,000 years old, you know, you're going to make me an old Super NES game and it's basically just a port and you want to charge me $30 for that? No. You want to charge me $5? Now we're talking. So price is a big deal for me on that level. But yeah, I do it all the time. And I think that's what we're going to keep doing. That's how we're going to get these old experiences again in the future, because our discs aren't going to last forever. They break, they decay, they have problems. Cartridges are going faster and faster. They're dying, you know, every day. Every day a cartridge gives up the ghost. And you don't even know it. It's in a box somewhere and it whispered out, "That's all I've got." And dead. Hi, Scott, says Steve Wilkinson. I was listening to the latest episode where you were talking about the new Steam Link box announced at GDC. This is the one that streams your Steam box to your TV for $50. I also saw you posting on Twitter about it. I thought you and other listeners might be interested in a free app that's out there for Android devices, including the Fire TV, which I also have. I wonder if it works on the Fire Stick. I'll have to look into it. Anyway, it's called Limelight Game Streaming. It's a free app, basically makes your device work like an NVIDIA Shield. I installed it on my Fire TV and it auto-scanned my network for any PCs that had GeForce Experience software. All the games that were compatible with the Shield showed up on my Fire TV immediately to stream. You can even pair a Bluetooth controller to the Fire TV set as well. He paired an extra DualShock 4, so a PlayStation 4 controller, he had lying around in about 10 seconds. There's a bunch of videos on YouTube on how to do it. He goes on to say he tested out Skyrim, BioShock Infinite, and most of his Steam library. Blizzard and Origin games showed up as well, although I didn't play them. I had to mess around with that. He said the setup was about as simple as it gets, and it was impressed with the performance. Goes on to say he's not affiliated at all with the app. He just thought it'd be something people might be interested in. Save you $50. It's free. If you have one of the said devices, then you might be in good shape. So I'm going to make it my project this weekend, Steve, to fire that up. I want to see what's up. I didn't know that existed until you sent me that email. So mucho appreciatio. As always, your phone calls and your emails are appreciated. I love the feedback. 801-471-0462 or boopshow@gmail.com. All right, real quick, I have something to give away. Here's some of this. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you from Eric Sutton, fan of the show, a great Frog Pants community member, great photographer. Man, that guy took some photos at Nerdtacular last year. Jeez, that guy's good. In fact, the Frog Panther photos you see, if you go to nerdtacular.com, those are all portraits taken by him. He just did an amazing job. Anyway, he sent me a copy of a game that I want to give away to any fine listener who wins it. It is Avancast Rise of the Mage Steam. It's a Steam key, 100% free key. All you got to do is email me this week and tell me why you think you should win it. So send those emails to boopshow@gmail.com, and you too could be the lucky random winner of Avancast Rise of the Mage. And again, thanks to Eric Sutton for that. Look forward to that happening. Well, I'll give it away on Monday. How about that? You get the whole weekend to do it. So get your emails out. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Let's get out of here. Thank you all for being here. Frogpants.com/boop is the website. Subscribe. Find all our links. Blah, blah, blah. That's all right there. Boopshow@gmail.com. If you want to play with me on Twitch, I'm allowing it to be so that, you know, if there are friends online or you're in my friends list or whatever and you want to play a quick match of something, that's happening a lot. So follow me on Twitter, @ScottJohnson. I'll keep you informed, @BoopShow for the show. Our phone number again is 801-471-0462. I think that's it. Is that it? That's it. I think that's it. Still working on those Boop Show packages. We'll have those for you soon, so don't worry about those. Spectacular's coming. Lots of stuff going on. All right. I think it's going to do it. Oh, they announced BlizzCon dates today. 6th and 7th of November. As barring anything I'm unaware of, I should be there. Like I always am. It'll be my fourth year or fifth year? Fourth year, I think. Went in 2011, 2012. They skipped. 2013 I went. 2014. Yeah, those will be four. So mucho looking forward to that. I think I might take the kids this time. We'll see. I'm going to get out of here with some music, as always. Sonic Chaos Smooth Dream from OC Remix. You know, I don't really like Sonic games anymore, but I really do like all that old music. And I want to say this was from Sonic Chaos, the game that was, wasn't Sonic Chaos like a pinball game? Or is my memory fading on that? I don't remember. But here's that song. And again, it's from ocremix.org. I love them. So will you. Get all your music remixes there. They're not even sponsors. I just like them. I just like what they do. They also have a Patreon. Spend a little money there, too. That's it. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Talk to you then.